This is The Topic is Trek, episode 63 for Friday, April 3rd, 2020. Coming up in this episode, a former Star Trek alumni is a torchbearer. No, not the Beacon of Kalish. Star Trek in 4K and more Picard than you can shake a stick at. All that and more right now on The Topic is Trek. Mr. Blue Skies. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it. Sooner or later, because on this show, The Topic is Trek. Engage already. Well, hello, everyone. Speaking to you from an undisclosed location somewhere in isolation. I'm Clinton, one of your co-hosts on The Topic is Trek. Now I've engaged all of the filters, so we should be all set to get anything out of anybody's system as they beam in. So fear not. Joining me, as always, first of all, is Mr. Craig Stepp.
Yeah, yabba dabba do. Wait, that one's taken. Hello.
Yeah. Got to keep working on that one. And Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
Just hanging out on Space Station K7, sipping Dranya.
Okay, just pick up all the tribbles and you'll be fine.
That would take years.
I should remember how many it's going to take, but it's going to take a lot. I think it's seven something, I think. Bad at trivia. Really bad at trivia.
You said Star Trek in 4K. I can never get that thing to load in less than 640K.
Well, never mind. We're not going to. We'll get to that story, and it's not what you think it is.
Oh, yes. Good.
But something, before we even get started with our subspace chatter, something I wanted to mention is that if you currently are not subscribing to CBS All Access and you're saying, what's up with Picard? Well, right now, yes.
It's over. Right, you missed it.
But, well, they haven't missed it if they haven't subscribed yet. They can. You can subscribe and see Picard on CBS All Access for free until April 23rd. You go to sign up and use the code GIFT, G-I-F-T, and that will allow you to see Star Trek Picard, which I think is a good deal, especially in these times when you just kind of sitting around going, what is it I'm going to do? I've watched everything on Netflix. I've watched everything on Amazon. I've watched everything on, you know, here's some more things to watch.
Sorry, yeah. Howard. I wish I'd known about this last week. My boss, Howard, just subscribed and watched all of
Star Trek last weekend.
Yeah. So if you're also wondering, what are Chuck, Clinton, and Craig talking about?
Well, that's only going to do so much for you as far as that goes, but yeah.
You know. You got about 40 years worth of pop culture references to catch up on.
Yes.
All right. That said, why don't we do what we do when we do it? And that means we're starting off with some subspace chatter, right, Charlie?
You don't need all that subspace chatter.
Charlie, you got away with that once. Last time around.
It went to his head. It's like, whatever, yeah. Dude.
In his eyes.
CBS All Access has released a new teaser trailer for Star Trek Discovery Season 3. The visual style of the new teaser and accompanying promotional artwork very closely matches the artwork that was circulated prematurely. Some guys have that problem. It was on social media last month before being removed. In the wordless 15-second teaser, we see Michael Burnham in what is decidedly not Starfleet uniform, standing atop a rock, holding a tattered but flying flag of the United Federation of Planets. The color palette is a warm brown to orange tone, a distinct visual departure from the previous seasons of Discovery, which tended more towards blue and purple with a dollop of Red Angel. I did see the flag waving one. That got taken down, or is that the new one?
No, that's the new one.
Oh, okay.
The The one that got, I think the one they're referring to that got taken down, it is a similar looking piece, but it's just a single image that has the cast in kind of that same environment. And Burnham is holding the Federation flag. And of course, people had a field day with that. They changed the flag to all sorts of other things. And
like a gay flag or something?
Yeah. I mean, okay. You name it. And, you know, it definitely has a very Les Mis feel to it. So they were kind of like having fun with that. And because I saw all the variants of that image and I never saw the actual image online anyplace. And apparently,
when you see all the memes and then get the original.
Yeah. So apparently I know why, because they pulled it down.
Gotcha.
But I mean, this obviously the teaser trailer doesn't tell us anything we don't already know based on that. I think it was from Comic-Con. Was it New York Comic-Con or San Diego where they had the trailer that.
Was it the Star Trek, the Comic-Con in New York when they show the Star Trek stuff?
It was a short clip. And yeah. You could clearly see there were only, what, 6 stars on the flag and everybody was speculating about that. But yeah.
So, I mean, this kind of reinforces that same thing that there's chaos in the future or the future is future, I guess, in this case, to keep everything not confusing.
We couldn't contain COVID-19. It got out in the galaxy and, hey, well, you know, we lost some Starfleet members or UFP members.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they'll all be taken care of at the end of all this. All right, let's move on from that to a story about the announcer from my other show. Tell us about it, Craig.
All right. So I know everybody's stuck at home, just like, you know, myself. And we're looking for stuff to do or something to keep you entertained. Well, Patrick Stewart is not only giving you Star Trek Star Trek Picard, but he's also online reciting Shakespeare. So Patrick Stewart is turning to classic literature as a way to keep people entertained during the coronavirus pandemic. On Saturday, the Star Trek star revisited his thespian days. He was a member of the Royal Shakespeare Company for over a decade, according to Mashable, mashable.com, by sharing a video of himself reciting Shakespeare's Sonnet 116 on Twitter.
Is that the one that he recites to Loxana Troy?
Yes. No, I don't know. To his surprise, Stewart's reading garnered nearly 52,000. Like, he's really surprised that 52,000 people liked it.
That's down 20%.
Yeah. Whoa. I was expecting much more.
That's why I was surprised.
Yeah. Anyway, so he got 52,000 likes and praise from social media users who found his video especially soothing and therapeutic. So, from what I understand, he's continuing to do it every day.
Yes.
Oh, that's his podcast a day thing? His dog days of quarantine?
It is. It absolutely is.
Yeah, we thought he decided to one-up us.
Mm-hmm. This podcast
speaking of which, Clinton on his show is doing podcast today, today, right?
Today, yes.
As we record this on the 1st. And so go over and check that. Where at, Clinton?
You can find that at comedyforecast.com. And it should also be part of the feed for Dog Days of Quarantine, I believe.
Oh, so yes.
Should be able to see it, find it in that feed as well.
Which you can find at dogdaysofpodcasting.com.
Yeah. And if you're not familiar with that, in August, I challenged podcasters to podcast once a day for 30 days. Well, because we're all stuck at home, I'm not doing it. Yeah, we're back. I decided I'd at least start up the feed. I don't know if it's so much of a challenge per se as I ask people, hey, podcast a day. I like it because not just it gets people podcasting, but it kind of fosters a community. People start talking about the episodes they're all posting, with each other. And it's a lot of fun. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of trying to pull the community out together, rather, I should say, during this time. So anyway, so go check that out. You can find all of this. You can find Clinton and everybody there. So,
yeah.
DogDaysOfPodcasting.com.
All right. Sounds good. And let's move on to our next article. I'll take this one. One Star Trek fan has taken it upon themselves to try and remaster Star Trek Voyager and Star Trek Deep Space Nine into 4K using artificial intelligence. I think it's a spoiler for the Star Trek Picard. Anyway, Reddit user Billy Reichard, who goes by the name U/TheBoomsters, posted a couple of clips last week of a Voyager episode that he'd used the special process on, saying, quote, I have completed one full episode in 4K, season 6, episode 4, Tinker, Tenor, Dr. Spy. I originally did a test using Gigapixel AI. And Gigapixel is a brand. I have some of their software. Dumping every frame of a 2-minute clip. Took about 6 hours to process from start to finish. He went on to explain that he's since shortened the process using a different piece of software. Later last week, Reichard followed up with on the Voyager post with a clip from Reichard. Star Trek. Reichard. From Star Trek Deep Space Nine, including a split screen version of the intro so you could see the original and the remastered version side by side. Reichard intends to remaster at least all of Voyager. He didn't indicate his intentions for Deep Space Nine, but acknowledged that he wouldn't be able to legally share them. So it's interesting because, again, I've talked about the... and by the way, we'll have a link to this story so you can see those clips, as well as all the other stories we're talking about. If you go over to the show notes for episode 63 over at thetopicistrek.com. The software he was talking about using, it's interesting because there's a version of this Gigapixel AI, which is the one I have, that does individual images. You can upscale with artificial. So if he was taking every single frame and doing it that way, that's insane. Yeah. But they've come out with a version now that will actually do video. And so I'm assuming that even if he used the same company stuff, he could do it a lot faster by dumping in a clip now instead of the individual pieces. But I watched it now. The thing is that I don't have anything 4K really to look at this thing on. It was clear to me that it was very crisp looking in the Star Trek Voyager clip.
Yes.
The one that he showed Deep Space Nine, and it's a split screen, and there's no defining line between the two. It's not like there's a white border. So you have to look very carefully sometimes to see the difference. And that one, I think because it's a darker image, I wasn't able to see quite as much of a difference on my monitor, at least. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at the clips and what your thoughts were on them.
I'm with you. The Voyager 4K, I thought looked great. The Deep Space Nine, I was like, okay, I can tell it looks better, especially when you see like the top of the Defiant as it's docked. And then, but there's other places I kept looking. Where am I looking for this? Okay, maybe it's the lettering. I'll look at the lettering. Yeah, it looks a little clearer. And then I was looking for the nacelle. I don't know what ship was on the pylon at the top. Mm-hmm. And I was waiting for the color of the nacelle to cross over, or the nacelle itself to cross over the line, so I could see how clear the differential. And then it swipes over to another so I was like, dang it. Kept waiting for it to but you could tell it looked a little bit better. But I'm surprised that they, you know, CBS wouldn't like use something like this themselves and like maybe just update the parts that didn't look quite right by hand, you know, and really,
you know. Well, I think I think to them, it's a question of demand and cost.
If they will buy it.
Well, the interesting thing is that I think that the boat kind of sailed on them without them realizing it, that there's been a time fairly recently where people have started to binge Deep Space Nine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And certainly now I'm sure a lot of people are. Well, by the time you get this thing turned around, you know, if CBS decided to do it, that time has passed. So you would have an audience for it, but it would be a much smaller audience than you would have if it was already done and ready to go.
I don't know. I'm waiting to re-binge. I'm ready to go. If they hire this guy as a private contractor or something.
Oh, I flip between TNG, Voyager, DS9, and Enterprise all the time. You can look at my continue watching on Netflix, and they're always in. You know, because I always pull up something, just pull it up. I'll tell you something I thought was interesting, and I didn't see it. I don't remember if I saw it in here in this article, but he mentioned that Voyager was, the audio is encoded with a variable bit rate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the problem is, as he's doing the video, is trying to line the audio back up. So that takes a little time. And if you're not familiar with variable bit rate, it's like they do it when, depending on the dynamics of the audio, they'll change the bit rate to save on space or whatever they're doing. But yeah, I just thought that was aggravating. Poor you know, guy. He had something else he's got to do. But I figure also for 6 hours to do one episode, you could do an episode a day in a month or not a month, but 3 months, you could almost have the whole series done.
Right.
4 months you could. So,
and you know, to his point, it's for him because he really is not supposed to share that with anybody. So, he'll have it, but everyone else will be doing it on their own. So in theory, everybody can do this, but
everybody can do it.
honey, we're going to binge watch Deep Space Nine in a couple of months. Cause I'm going to just, you know, set the batch processing going and we'll get back to that.
Oh, and speaking of DS9, I think I'll throw this out here too. I did watch the What We Left Behind.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's free on what was it? Not Pluto TV, but it was my mind's blank.
Crackle? Something like that.
It wasn't Crackle.
It's one of those.
Yeah, it's like an off video. Anyway, I saw it was free. I was like, okay, I'm gonna go watch it. It was probably a little bit longer than it probably needed to be, but I did enjoy the fact that
Aaron,
they made a point to include all the people that, not just the main actors, but all the people that recognize the people that helped make the show. And I thought it was really good. And there was a couple of poignant things. Like Rene Auberjonois said, mentioned he wanted on his epitaph, you know, that he didn't just play Endicott. What's his name from, you know,
Benson.
From Benson. And I was like, oh man, that kind of hurts now that when you say it in this context. But and of course, Aaron Eisenberg was getting teary-eyed about his time on DS9, and even that's a little more poignant as well. But it was great. I liked the whole thing, and they explained a lot about what they went through to make the episodes and the decisions, and they broke, you know, story on episode 8. Well, you probably know about it, but you can watch it for free.
Yeah. You just have to find it. We're not sure. Look for it on your off-brand streaming service of choice. And
there's only about 50 of them out there. You'll find it.
You've got nothing but time to do it.
It's on Tubi. Okay. It's on Tubi. Yeah, Tubi.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking everybody's got nothing to do but to look for it right now. So, you know, I can guarantee you've got the time to look for it. So there we go.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to our next story. About somebody, this is not Star Trek per se, but it's still Star Trek related.
And the story comes from my neighborhood from Fox 10 Phoenix. Star Trek legend George Takei has announced that he will be the final torchbearer to lighting the Olympic flame in Tokyo in 2020. Oh, but it's been postponed to 2021.
That's right.
So, yes, he will still be the torchbearer in 2021. So that's good news, too. He posted the news on social media with a picture holding the torch standing next to a table with various memorabilia, including his uniform for the popular science fiction show, you know.
Star Wars. Mandalorian. That's
it's in his favorite Gremlins furry outfit. Mm-hmm. This will be such a unique moment before the eyes of a billion people lighting the torch as a symbol of hope for the future of 2021 in Tokyo, he wrote. A lifelong passionate runner, George joined the Los Angeles-based LGBT running club, the LA Front Runners, where he eventually met his husband, who trained him for his first marathon, according to the Huffington Post. I'm especially grateful to have been chosen and hope to do everyone in the USA proud.
What is that? It sounded like a Shatner all of a sudden. What happened there?
Couldn't stop and just do everyone here.
Now do it with a Scottish accent and it really confused everybody.
Yeah, throw the Russian in there too.
don't make me try.
He's trying to work. He's trying to do it. He's formulating his head.
It's already been done.
Yeah.
So, yes. Well, maybe we should give him a lighter on the cruise.
Yeah,
he'll be on the cruise
just
next
in case it goes out. George, here you go.
I just have visions of him holding the torch the entire time he's on the cruise, right? Going, they gave it to me in 2020, and I have to hold it until I like the.
He's running around the track on the top deck. I'm practicing.
Carried around for a year.
I tried to give it to Brad. He said, "No, it's yours. Oh, you have to hold it."
That would be a fun cosplay. Just bring a torch and run on the track.
At his house, he's sitting in the bathroom with it, sitting against, beside the toilet, waiting, and he's got it with him the whole time.
This self-isolating came at the wrong time.
The show writes itself.
It does. Let's move on to the rumor files.
That's
right.
Files.
Yeah, speaking of the Avengers, it sounds like CBS is hoping to capitalize on all the Star Trek that's being sent our way.
You think?
Sources cited in the article over at, I'm trying to remember where it was at. We Got It Covered. I know. We Got It Covered has a sort of reputation. But anyway, sources cited that the article say that the network wants to do a big crossover series modeled after Marvel and Netflix's The Defenders. As you'd imagine, it would bring together characters from Disney, Picard,
Disney?
Discovery. Excuse me. I had whatever Disney on there.
That's great. I'll see you in court.
With Goofy.
Beam me up, and Pumba.
Yeah.
Okie doke.
Oh, bother. Here we go again.
Yeah. Hey, Picard. Anyway, so
you may be onto something.
Engage. There you go. So Discovery.
Kurtzman, Picard, get him on the phone. Get him on.
Section 31. And the aforementioned in the article, possibly Pike Show. So obviously all these series would be stretched across the Trek timeline, but we've heard that the time travel will be used to bring everyone together. Exact plot details remain vague at this moment, of course, but apparently they'll have to do work alongside one another and fight some common foe. No, it's not Thanos.
Contract negotiations. Who's getting paid most?
That's right. And it's also unclear which characters would be involved, but we presume the main players from each of the more aforementioned shows would be featured. I don't know if I want that or not.
Stick them in now, the Nexus.
It kind of sounds like one of those, it's a make a great comic series to have something like that.
Yeah.
Or, this sounds like one of those, one of the novelizations.
Yeah.
It's Star Trek Generations, the next generation.
The next generation's generation. So I'm not sure. I'm sold on that. I remember reading, I forget which one it was, but it was one of the books that quote unquote William Shatner wrote about Shatner. And one of them was, it took place right after he was killed, with the Nexus and Generation. And it had a little bit of Picard in it, and it had a little bit of other Star Trek, modern Trek in it. And it was a cool episode. It had the Borg. He was dealing with the Borg. It was pretty cool, but, for a book. I enjoyed it as a book. I don't know if I want to spend the money on an episode or a movie or something like that on a crossover.
Also, I know Defenders was on Netflix, but didn't that only have one season? Or maybe that was around the same time it got pulled because Disney was, starting their own service and the stuff was disappearing off Netflix. I don't recall that being like a big,
not a big hugely successful
talked about thing on. Yeah. I could be wrong about that.
I mean, it fit in with the other stuff, but
I enjoyed it. No, it's on Netflix. I enjoyed it, but Yeah, I just don't know. It seems like too much. Actually, I found myself wanting more episodical Trek rather than some.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute. But I was like, I don't know. I want some more story of the week Trek. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Not a big crossover, one-off thing.
Agreed.
Let's put it in a blender, see what happens, is what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna dip back into that that rumor file or speculation file over at We Got This Covered. Could Star Trek Picard lead to Seven of Nine having her own spinoff?
She should be in charge of Section 31.
It's something many want to see, including showrunner Michael Chabon himself, in response to Seven and Elnor teaming up in the most recent episode of Season 1. A fan asked Chabon on social media if he'd consider doing a show based around the duo, maybe even with Robert Picardo's Doctor or Kate Mulgrew's Catherine Janeway in the mix as well. The executive producer revealed that he's actually half seriously already pitched this concept, though without Janeway's involvement. Minus the Janeway, he says, I pitched this very idea half in jest, half in earnest to my partners many times as we were making the show this season, Chabon shared. I've never found the relationship between Janeway and Seven to be quite as compelling as I understand that many other fans of Voyager do. To me, we might get into this more in our main discussion, but to me, it really felt like the Seven of Nine part was a backdoor pilot for something else.
Yeah.
That, you know, she's there with this whole background about the Rangers and stuff is going on. And then this teaming up and this relationship with Elnor. And
yeah. They dropped a lot of nuggets in there.
Yeah.
I could see it working. You know, you got badass Seven of Nine. You got Elnor, who's space Legolas, you know, doing the ninja thing. It has potential. I could see the attraction from a fan base, but I get very nervous when people are just throwing willy-nilly pot-smoking ideas around, going, hey, let's try this. And you wind up with something that's half-cracked.
Well, hang on. He said he was only half-serious.
He said he mentioned it half in jest and half in earnest, and he didn't say how it was received, but this is, you know, I like the idea that they're experimenting with the ideas. Don't get me wrong. This is fun stuff.
Throw ideas against the wall. I mean, I think all day long.
Definitely.
But yeah, the ones that stick is the ones you need to stay with.
Right.
Right. When you start getting too many of them, though, we get into dangerous waters. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see Star Trek jumped the shark just because somebody had a wild idea.
Plus, I think that would then be the second series where we'd be quote unquote out of, you know, the normal Star Trek umbrella, that you have Section 31, mm-hmm. which is kind of their own thing. And then again, this is just like a half and jest idea, but you also have this one that has characters who are also not Starfleet doing something else over here. So that's a lot of variants going on, and maybe too many at one time anyway. So if you have it in the queue or something like that in the queue for after Section 31, maybe cycle in some other non-main Starfleet UFP type thing, fine. You know, have some things ready to go in that vein, but.
Hey, I've got an idea for you guys. William Riker hosts the Iron Pizza Chef show.
Let's see. I think that's on the fall lineup already. Never mind. Okay.
Oh.
Shot down.
All right. Well, that's all the stories that we have. We do want to check in on what's happening in Vulcan, Alberta, Canada. But we should also say that it's closed right now. Canada is closed. So we can't, there's nothing going on there. Don't.
But the elevator still works.
Actually, that was live audio from Vulcan, Alberta, Canada, by the way.
I thought that was just live audio from Earth.
Who's running these sounds anyway? I tell you,
I have no idea, but I will say that We've covered those stories, and that's a lot going on. We've talked about a little bit of everything, but surely there's more. Well, yes, there is more, and I'm sorry I called you Shirley. We have 32 additional stories. If you go over to the show notes for episode 63 over at thetopicistrek.com, then you will see stories after stories after stories, speculation, top tens, all things about the comics, books, games, all sorts of things happening there. It'll keep you occupied, or one of the things that can keep you occupied until next time, because I don't want to commit it's going to keep you occupied, because you've all got a lot of time on your hands right now.
I'm so glad this you will... said it. I was just going to go, hey, what else are you doing?
Yeah, this will...
I got too much time on my hands.
We're going to get... I don't want no strike against us for that. There we go.
Karaoke's on Friday night.
Oh, yeah. Us. My bad.
All righty. So... check those stories out, and there's an interesting potpourri of things there. All right, it's time to come back from Subspace Chatter and go out on our main mission.
Apparently we're going there by shuttle.
Get to the wormhole quick. Get to the conduit. We got to get there.
Yeah, the conduit.
All right, and I guess because we acknowledged up front that some people may not have actually seen Picard, that we've got to run you-know-what.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, four.
Okay. There you go.
You get the point?
Because we were going to be talking now about the final two episodes of season one of Star Trek Picard. Et in Arcadia Ego,
That's a hard one to remember,
ego.
By the way.
Yeah.
It's Latin for, did you bring your quarters to the arcade?
No, that's what it's Latin for. Parts one and part two. So I feel okay, because Will Wheaton had trouble remembering how to pronounce that as well.
Where are you finding Ready Room now? It doesn't appear on the CBS All Access channel.
It's on YouTube, Facebook.
Oddly enough, the one place it isn't is CBS All Access.
Right? What happened?
It is there. No, it is there now.
Oh, is it? Okay.
I couldn't find it once day. We got back from the cruise a month ago. I don't know where it went.
No, I don't think it was originally, but it was YouTube channel.
Well, I mean, the first one was.
No,
but
the
I don't
first think... four or five.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but we would always just, after we watched the episode, we just go over to YouTube. And,
all right.
And there.
Catch up.
Okay. Yeah, I watched it on YouTube. That's the only place I didn't really pay attention to. I just happened to see it on CBS All Access the other day.
Because, you know, after you finish watching the episode on CBS All Access, go someplace else.
It's a natural transition, right?
Yeah, go to another streaming service and find it there.
Don't understand. But they're greater minds than mine.
Recap,
all right.
Recap. What's the recap?
Well, the recap pretty much is that, we've got that other recap in here as well. Okay, so in part one, following an unconventional and dangerous transit, Picard and the crew finally arrive at Soji's homeworld, Coppelius. However, with Romulan warbirds on their tail, their arrival brings only greater danger as the crew discovers more than expected about the planet's inhabitants.
Da-da-dum.
And then part two, might as well discuss them together. Part two, Picard and his team are pitted against the Romulans and the synthetics of Coppelius in a final confrontation.
It's the final smackdown. If Craig can sing, so can I.
It was all leading up to this. We can say that about it.
Yes.
There's a lot going on in these two episodes. And sometimes it gets resolved, and sometimes it just kind of peters off someplace. But what are your initial thoughts about the season finale?
As a whole, the episodes?
Consider it, well, since it's part one and part two, consider it as a whole.
They crammed a lot of stuff in there.
They did. And I don't think they, you know, there's some things I think was too convenient.
Such as?
And I'm actually trying to prioritize them in my head. So one, they just happen to have this body ready for whomever. Oh, mm-hmm. Let's make it look like Picard. Of course, we don't know how long he was technically dead, you know, before he was reincarnated.
Right.
But they have this, you know, his body just happens to be ready for it. Soon's name?
Yeah, it was Alton.
Yeah, he talked to Girardi and was like, you know, you got to pay for your sins. But what did she actually do?
I got a little wound around what her character was supposed to be doing through both of these episodes.
Yes.
Is she being good? Is she being bad? Is she saving somebody? I didn't really find her all that compelling or necessary in a lot of it.
Right. Because she said that, I thought, you know, I was a terrible spy, but clearly I was really good at it. I'm beginning to think I'm good at it. I'm thinking, which part were you being the spy and which part were you being?
Right.
I mean, I don't.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure what. And you already were a spy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I'm very, very confused about that part. It's true.
Well, I get that she was influenced by what O had to show her.
Yeah.
You know, because apparently it has that effect on other people too. It's just that Girardi didn't have to touch some flaming circle to see it. You know, she was able to transfer it.
But the other people who touched the flaming circle and saw it kind of went instantly crazy. Why was she okay until like the last two episodes?
She had a tuna sandwich.
That's right. She was listening to opera. She was,
it took 14 days to manifest itself. She had to be in social isolation.
Yeah. So that, I thought that was a little on the convenient side. You know, she was shown this image. She didn't flip out like the rest of the Romulans that were shown this also. And then she killed Bruce Maddox, which again, because she was under the influence, but they just kind of resolved that kind of easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just, so the show's over. I'm just going to fly off with my crew now, and I'm absolved of everything.
And we'll take Narek with us. I couldn't quite figure out what his purpose in all that was, too.
Yeah, he was the other, I don't want to hog the conversation, but he was the other thing that bugged me, because it's like, he just all of a sudden decided he was okay with the whole thing.
Yeah. Oh, I guess these robots are okay.
I mean, I understand he had feelings for Soji. You could see his emotional state when he was trying to kill her, thinking that's what he needed to do. But then later on, it's like, he just turned around, and I didn't quite get that. I was like, he's all of a sudden he's throwing rocks at the, not Serenity, the ship.
Wash does that. Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, La Seren, and then, La Serena, excuse me. And then he just kind of, he was bending over to convince everybody he was on their side all of a sudden.
I was also trying to figure out, I lost track. Sometimes I'm losing track of where these people are at a certain point. It's like, so Narissa was still on the Borg cube. I thought she was, I don't know, somehow I get the impression she was off of the cube.
Well,
and
we saw her get attacked, and you said, did she beam out or not?
We saw her after that.
We saw her after that. And then, of course, Seven of Nine goes and boots her off the edge of the precipice in the Borg cube. So yeah, when that Borg cube came down hard,
apparently survived.
Right.
Everyone survived.
Yeah, I was like, wow, there's a surprising amount of people still alive here, and all the important ones too, thankfully.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would think it would have been much better that it. I can understand it crashing, but to go out of your way in dialogue to say, well, I don't know, it's pretty heavy and the impact, and I don't think it's going to have any survivors. And it's like, no, find somebody who's dead, please, because there's nobody who died on this thing.
Oh, there's Jeff, the XB.
And it still
over
works,
there.
By the way. Still plenty of things that work on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff, the XB, got a bloody nose or something.
Oh, well, he'll get better. It's okay. Hey, it's okay.
Well, that's the other thing about Narek, by the way, that I was thinking of is, you know, they had him locked up in that little pseudo room, and then it looked like he was about to get killed himself. And then, of course, he was freed because, not Soji, but,
Goldie.
Yeah, Goldie.
What was
Goldie killed,
Arcana? No.
You're talking about, Sutra?
Yeah, Sutra.
Yeah.
you know, she got killed and then he was let free. I'm like, well, how does this change his mind?
Right.
You know, your life was just threatened and then all of a sudden, oh, now you're free. But, you know, that just kind of proves the point that you should be scared of these people. Right.
Right.
That's what I'm getting. I'm sure bigger minds than mine will figure this out a little bit better. Maybe I'll watch it again, but I was
gonna have to watch these two again because I'm not real clear on how all the bits fit together.
Hey, you know, Michael Chabon is a Pulitzer Prize winning writer. He's got to have something. You know, there's got to be some similar something right in here. I don't understand.
And there were weird.
Oh, go ahead.
Weird things like they. Weird thing about the soccer ball coming in, or football if you're listening from out of the country, that he bounces it, okay, and so apparently it still reacts as a ball would, even though it's got this thing inside of it. Plus, you have the sense say, "Oh, you play? Like what? You're gonna challenge me a game of one on one? Hey, dude, you play? Hey, let's go on the field or something. What is that? You play. What is that all about?" It seemed really weirdly casual.
I think that was the idea. I was like, oh, let's just make this casual. It might not be a bomb. Let's not get overworked up about something very normal coming into our compound.
Yeah, nothing to see here. Don't worry about it. You have no scanners, I'm sure. Like, that's fine.
Gandalf and his walking stick. Never mind.
Yeah. Look away.
I felt like the big battle sequence, if I was the Romulans, after the flowers, when you had that moment where, you know, the ship had not, Picard ship had not multiplied.
Yeah.
Just fire. Just damn fire.
Really protracted. I'm like, why are they still there?
Right. Well, then they dispersed with that one, and she starts to give another countdown up to when it's going to happen.
This is my real ultimatum now.
My mark.
Yeah, I'm right. Like, this time I meet it.
Yeah, that's right. She goes, fire on my next command. I'm like, why don't you just tell him to go?
All sitting there waiting. Yeah. I felt like if you had had both the flowers and the multiplication of the ship at the same time, causing tons of confusion, that I think would have worked, because there's nothing, then there's a big threat, you eliminate the threat, and now you're left with nothing, and then the cavalry comes in at that point.
But the cavalry was still 15 minutes away.
Fire on those. Yeah, it could have been like, fire on those. All of a sudden, there's more. Whoa, what? And then, you just kind of look some confusion. Yeah, that's what they should have done.
That didn't work with the timeline, because the cavalry was still 15 minutes away.
Well, you had no idea how far away the cavalry was.
If they were coming at all.
Right. They didn't know, which they kept driving home. It's like, what, they're not going to show up? I mean, come on. Of course they're going to show up.
I also found a little hokey that 1 minute Picard can barely fly the ship, and the next there's firefight going all over the place, and he's not touched. Now, maybe that was just dumb luck and random flying, but that didn't really sit well with me either.
Right. Yeah. The one they didn't give a lethal blow to was his. Amazing.
So, all right. So we've all talked about the things we hate.
Yeah.
What?
The overarching story was Soji's not the destructor. Like? She makes up her mind not to call in whatever they were through the whole of Thanos. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah, we weren't sure what those were. Yeah, you're right.
So she made a decision at the last second, hopefully, thankfully. Something tells me we haven't seen the last of those things, though.
Well, I don't know. Hopefully we have, because I wasn't particularly enthralled with them. But yeah, I felt like the ending, at least the resolution, was a very Star Trek resolution that really didn't involve, the biggest gun wins. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the biggest concept wins type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that aspect of it. I liked some of the characters that were in it. I was finding myself much more interested in Seven of Nine's story than I thought I was going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
And as it carried on to the end of it. I felt, you know, felt like when she was being taunted by Nerissa, and you know, why didn't you just, you know, kill yourself? And no, you know, all you got for your birthday was being turned into a, was being assimilated and all this kind of stuff, and just kind of hammering at her. You know, I felt like I really liked that. I would have almost preferred more of that, I think.
Or the scene with her and Rafi, you know, sharing a drink at the end, and she's saying, you know,
the holding hands at the end. That was like, where did we miss a scene here someplace?
Yeah, I want, you know, I didn't want
it's on the DVD.
Kill somebody because I think they deserve to die. I liked the internal struggles they gave her character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really liked that talk she had with Rios at the end when he's talking about the thing that he did. And she says, so could you have done anything about it? No. Well, then I win. My story wins, you know? Mm-hmm. And so she's definitely got a lot of angst and a lot of things that she's working through. And I know that a lot of people said, well, there really wasn't enough Picard in Picard. And I felt like, no, I think there was as much Picard as I thought there was going to be in Picard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was in every episode.
He was in every episode. Plus, at his age, and I'm going to say this, at his age, I don't think he should be expected to be the one carrying every scene of the show. So if you were expecting this to be like all Picard all the time, no, that was not going to happen. So I felt like the amount of Picard that we got right through to the end, including, you know, him making the speech to Soji about what to do, and you've just got Riker sitting back and the captain's just kind of smiling, going, oh, there he goes, he's off on his speech now.
He's thinking of another pizza is what he's thinking.
He is. He definitely is. It's, you know, not that stuff you can get in the replicators too.
No.
he brought a brick oven to the ship with him, but anyway.
That's part of his rider for being a captain again.
Well, I've got a job for you.
And I didn't have any problem with Riker showing up. Unlike some, you know, so I like that aspect of it. I wasn't thrilled that every single ship that Starfleet had was exactly the same ship.
Well, I did read that it wasn't. That's about three or four different models in there.
Okay. All right.
They all look the same, honestly, but.
Right. I mean,
weren't they a little shy on ships not too long ago?
Well, they were shy on ships to spare. It's like, I don't think that, and plus that was what we're now, how far out from that risk? That was like 10 years, right?
Oh, 14 years. Okay. Yeah. Right. So what did they do? Rebuild Utopia Planitia and get to work?
Well, either they rebuilt that or built someplace else or built multiple places someplace else. So you don't have a single point of failure.
Well, that would make more sense, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I liked. I thought for the most part, I liked all the characters that we were introduced to.
Mm-hmm.
Except for Girardi. Girardi's probably on the lower end, but, yeah. But I liked them for the most part. I especially like I started to say EMH, but you know, insert your initials here.
Yes, exactly.
It's the EMH.
Those were kind of fun. Yeah, those were fun. I liked that. I liked everything. Up to and including, which I think was where we're going, the end with Data.
Yeah.
I know it was a little weird. I know he didn't look exactly right. Of course, Brent Spiner is older. But looking past that, I think the whole scene at the end was very nice and a nice way to end with Data.
Right. I definitely agree with you. Yeah. I mentioned to Craig that the one thing that was just kept throwing me in that scene is he looks like Brent looks now. And I know we've had that. We've already seen that.
Oh, he looked beginning a little of the better series. Than Brent looks right now.
Well, maybe. Yeah. But I'm saying that, you know, the weight that Brent has and so forth. And so he looked off, but we'd seen that already. I think it just felt like the scene was so heavily this very deep conversation with Picard and Data about, you know, the nature of life and death, that it really would have been good to have him appear the way he did then, like he's not aging and he's not happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't, there's no, because I felt like, well, it looks like he is getting older. So that it's sending like a message that's weird at that point. So it kept pulling me out of what they were saying and I kept fighting my way back in again. But if they'd somehow been able to just for those couple of shots, or there were some angles that were better than others. And it felt like if they just could have, you know, pulled that off, I think that scene would have been 100% rock solid.
Probably. Yeah. Well, we've seen enough deep fake videos to, and they could have seriously just had somebody else in there and put Brent's face on him.
Yeah.
And made it look right. And I think, but I did like the whole ending, the talk with Bakari. It was a little heavy on the exposition, you know, and they mentioned this was a simulation like three times. So I was like, yeah. Okay, yeah, we got it. But I did like seeing Data actually turn old, even though that was a little weird at first. But he was just letting himself go, and then everything kind of went faded away. I thought that was nice.
Right. And then you come back, and there he is. He's still there. Oh, no, that's Brent.
Yeah. Did you get more emotional about Picard dying or Data dying?
I will tell you this, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to just jump on y'all, but I'll tell you this. I have a connection with the Blue Sky song. I won't go into all that here, but so when I saw it in Nemesis, I was like, oh, that's cool. And then when I saw it at the beginning of Picard, I was like, that's really cool. You know, especially when they originally, when you see the ship out in the corner of the screen and it's the whole nebula and you hear Blue Sky. And then I kept the end. Yeah, it got to me. And especially, I love Data. I think like, almost everybody else loved Data and was pretty invested in him as a character to begin with. And yeah, it really got to me. Data dying.
Yeah. I feel like that was more of an emotional punch for me as well. And perhaps it's because it wasn't something you knew was coming, you know? Well,
we knew Picard was going to die, and I felt emotional about it at first, and then I went, oh wait, there's a body. I know where he's going. You know, it was easy to figure out at that point that they didn't just lay that body in a case for nothing the whole episode or two. So that was an easy out. The data getting put into oblivion, I thought was a nice closure. I didn't get too emotional over that one, but I did.
Better than letting him go on Nemesis.
Yeah. Yes.
The one thing about Brent though is Data's delivery is that, you know, kind of deadpan, flat delivery because he's an android. He doesn't have that emotion built in. As Alton Sung, I thought he was trying too hard to be the other end of that spectrum. It sounded like everything he was delivering was almost in a whiny mode. I don't know if you picked up on any of that, but it started to grate on me. Like, Brent, talk like a normal person would talk. Maybe that's the way the Sung family is they're a little more eccentric. So I kind of write off some of it as that, but it just started to get to me after a while.
Well, all of them, right? Because when he was playing Noonien in Enterprise, I believe, he was kind of a little off in this direction. And of course, when he's playing Lore, he's a little bit off in that direction. So,
I
think they're all a little.
I thought wacko. Alton bared more of a resemblance to Lore in the way that he was, you know, he was always trying to justify what he was trying to say. Everything had to be very dramatical and theatrical.
Back off a little bit. You know, in theory, that's his other brother. So,
Well, there were rumors that Alton was Lore, but
well, let's get into our predictions we made the other day before the finale came out.
Right
before the finale came out.
Right before we saw the ending episode.
Yeah. So we all made a prediction. I said, I believe the new song Sung is Lore.
I thought
okay, he's gonna be Lore. He's gonna try and do something with the body that they were just building, And I figured it was going to set up something for season two.
Here, this is if you're wrong.
Yeah.
This is if you're right.
All right, well, I'll go next. I'll go next. So I thought that Jurati was going to end up in the android body. Now, at first I said, I have no real reason to think that. I mean, it's like, I think just because she was the one who was working with it and somehow some circumstance was going to necessitate that this happened, I didn't have an end game for what that was going to mean. It just seemed to me that that was the setup they were going with, that she was now working with Sung and she had access to it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I could think of why it would make any kind of sense later on thinking about it is, well, then you would have this conflict. Is she guilty of murder? You'd have to figure out, well, who is this now? Is this Agnes Jurati or is this an android? Mm-hmm. What is the responsibility? So I said, you know, that was kind of after the fact, but I had no end game for it. And my prediction was, this is, yeah, exactly.
All right, I went for the low-hanging fruit.
Yes. The real low-hanging fruit.
I couldn't resist. It was just tongue-in-cheek. My prediction was, we're going to see Jurati put on her cry face at least one more time, and I get the happy tribble.
We saw that in every episode, Chuck. Yeah.
Was it just one more time at that point? I don't remember. I've lost track.
Hey, someone had to get something right on this show.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, Craig, did you do the show notes for this?
Yeah.
Okay, and you wrote in the predictions? Your Boolean work needs a little help. You have false, false, yes.
So? You figured it out.
It's truthy and falsy. There's on, yeah. Off, yes, no, but 1-0. Okay, I get it.
All right, for each of you, one to ten Delta Shields. How do you rate 10 being the best? How do you rate Picard?
Overall? The whole series? Oh, I thought you were going to ask about just the last two. We should be rating each episode.
We just did that.
We'll do that the next season.
No, I'm just curious. You know, what do you think?
Overall, I'm deciding. This is like rating a beer.
Well, you're thinking, I'll go. Okay. I'm going to say 7.
Oh, I was thinking 7.5.
I was going to say a solid 8, but, you know, very good.
I felt like there were just too many places that weird things happened that it's like, well, that'd be great if you followed up on it. It's like Rafi's visit to her son on the planet was like,
yeah,
talk about it for several episodes. It's over in 3 minutes and then we shall never talk of it again. Apparently it's just like, what, the, you know, there's the weird.
As season ones go in Star Trek, it was better than most.
This is true. And they all had collars.
That's so right.
There's that.
I don't think I saw too many uniforms.
Not really. But I thought it was great. I thought, for the most part, I enjoyed it enough. I thought an 8 was well worth watching.
So. Oh, I'm not saying it's not worth watching. But, you know, if we're judging it just on, would I recommend it to everybody? No. Would I recommend it to, you know, to Star Trek people to watch? Absolutely.
Oh,
but,
sure.
You know, I wouldn't recommend this as, here's your entry point for Star Trek.
No, it had too much backstory, Phil.
Yeah.
So,
and by the way,
yes.
And I'm sorry, go ahead, Chuck. What were you going to say?
Finish up. Mine was a segue.
I was just going to say, so season two, we do know we get a new showrunner. So it's going to have probably, you know, could have a little different tone to it. Not sitcom, I'm sure, but it'll have a different tone to it. And, you know, from what Michael Chabon said in a couple articles I read of interview with him, that things like Picard being a synth himself now is, you know, going to potentially play a factor in the story going forward, you know, knowing that, hey, we can take our consciousness, just put it in another body, that kind of stuff.
We've been doing that for a while. I don't remember the character's name, but Mark Shepard in Enterprise, Data's
mother
man.
Did.
Schizoid man. Data. He jumped into Data before he put his consciousness, I mean, not consciousness, but his knowledge into the computer.
Well, Data's mother was also real, and she was moved, put into a an android.
So it can be done.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be some fallout from what I understand. So that's what I'm saying. I do like how Picard turned in the very thing that he was trying to protect.
Ira Graves. Right. That's what his name was. Ira Graves. And when that didn't work out, he became a watchman on Rurapente.
That's it. Yes.
But we have no idea when season two will come out. Obviously, they're in a holding pattern right now on the project as everything else.
He's reading sonnets to us.
That's right. That's actually going to be season two. Think of Picard sitting in the chair reading the sonnets rather than Patrick Stewart. And that's pretty much it.
That season definitely has a different spin to it.
All right. So that wraps up our main mission. So we should come back from our main mission with an appropriate sound effect.
How about the Atavacron?
Ooh.
Have you been properly prepared?
Never.
Okay.
I panic constantly. Oh, I see.
I've been properly prepared with a marinade of garlic and butter.
And in a warp speed roundtable, this time around, we're going to ask a question that spans the Trek universe.
Universe.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Or galaxy, I suppose. Which Star Trek episode would you happily jettison into the ether, never to be seen again, and why? I am going to start this time because I have feelings about this one.
Don't we want to wait and hear from our listeners before we answer? Or are we just...
No.
But we will let them chime in on it for next episode. I would like to jettison forever. These Are the Voyages, the series finale of Enterprise.
Oh, that's a ass. Oh, yes.
I didn't get that far.
You didn't get that far?
That's why I'm rewatching everything.
Well, that's why I said that, I was happy to have Riker show up at the end in this series, not in Enterprise. No, none of that. None of that love letter to the Star Trek fans. No, Star Trek fans did not like your love letter, guys.
Craig, what VHS tape are you putting in the airlock?
Well, actually, I'm going to follow along with Clinton, and it is the episode. I just have the title up here. I want to say it. It's also an Enterprise episode. It's The Unexpected, where Trip actually gets pregnant.
Ah.
Where he has to go sit in an airlock for 3 hours to go to the other ship, hang out with a chick on an alien chick on their holodeck, and become pregnant by putting his hands in Jill. So
yeah,
this is a really hard decision.
That was sitcom material right there. So that was really hard. I was waiting for the laugh track to kick in, but anyway. So what about you, Chuck?
There's a few TOS episodes that I could have gone for. I mean, there's some low hanging fruit like Spock's brain.
Nobody likes Spock's brain.
Children Shall Lead. That's on the top of Donna's list.
Which one?
And the Children Shall. Hail, fire and snow. Yeah, that would be right on the top of Donna's list of never ever watch this again. But I'm going to step into Voyager season 2 episode 15, which we all love. Threshold.
Uh-huh. Oh no!
Wait,
oh,
does it have Kes in it?
Yeah, no, it's where you go past warp 10 and turn into a salamanders. Yes.
Oh, right.
Where Paris and Janeway, I have no idea what's going on with them. And Oh my. Yes. Well, that certainly is right up there.
Tell us, dear listener, can you top those?
Hey, wait a minute. You know it's bad when Brandon Braga actually called it a royal steaming stinker.
What was that in his?
I just happened to be looking at that. Yes, that was his quote.
So
he wrote it.
He did. Yes, that's right.
Teleplay by Brandon Braga.
So what do you think, dear listener? Do you have your opinion? I mean, Does it involve Tuvix? Who knows? It could be anything.
That was a disturbing one. I liked the episode ultimately, but Tuvix was kind of weird.
After listening to Garrett Wong and the Fart Wars, Tuvix would be something to behold.
Tuvix. So you can let us know. You can leave a note over on our Facebook page or tweet us. That's at The Topic Is Trek. And we'd love to hear, which episode do you want to put into that photon torpedo tube and just boo? And not to the Genesis planet. We just want that headed out of the galaxy someplace.
Keep the photon torpedo doors closed and just let the thing detonate in your face.
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's about time to refill the dilithium chamber and get on out of here.
Already?
So already. I am Clinton, and you can find me at Comedy Forecast, all one word with the number 4.com. And as we mentioned previously, right now for the month of April, I have my Podcast Today Spectacular, the 6th annual Podcast Today Spectacular. It goes from, obviously, April 1st to April 30th. We have a main story and then other things going on over the course of the month. You can also find me on Twitter at Comedy Forecast, on Facebook at Comedy Forecast, Instagram at Comedy Forecast, your favorite, shampoo at Comedy Forecast, anything.
Yeah. Comedy Forecast, right. The flamethrower.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's where I've seen you at.
And who speaks for you guys?
Chuck does.
You can find us over at chuckchat.com/Technorama, where you can find Technorama Podcast, or just Google for Technorama Podcast, and you'll find us all over the place. Like Clinton said, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Technorama, the flamethrower. It's all out there. A lot of fun. So Craig and I get together on Sunday nights and do our live stream to Facebook, which is then put on a podcast and video released on Tuesday nights. We've been doing that for about as long as Clinton's been doing it, since about mid-2005. So we're old timers in this podcast thing. We don't really consider this whole shut-in thing much of a disturbance.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. That's more like a welcome respite from life.
Focus time.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. All right. And we hope everyone out there is taking care as well. Yes. Of course, we remind you, as everyone else does, wash your hands. Keep your
Don't touch your face, and no face palms.
No, absolutely. No face palms. That there'll be plenty of time for that afterwards, trust me. So
stick with the Vulcan salute. Hold on for
now. All right, so it's time to hit the theme, boys. If you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend about it and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic Is Trek, visit our Facebook page, or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic Is Trek, don't put on the red shirt, especially if you don't know where it's been. I mean, just
wash your red shirt.
Absolutely.
In today's world, don't wear it.